Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
In this service, we are going to talk about the spirit of heaviness, part 4. Praise the Lord. The spirit of heaviness, part 4. And in doing so, I would like us to consider these scriptures. Scripture number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. In the ESV, or we can read it in the King James and then we'll read it in the ESV. So in 1 Corinthians 13, 13, it said, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity." Can we read it in the ESV? And stay with me on the ESV for a while. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat. We are talking about the spirit of heaviness, part 4. Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, and he makes this profound statement. It's a statement that puts light on certain pillars of our walk with God, of our faith in Christ. And he says that one of the pillars of our walk with God is supposed to be built on faith. He mentions another pillar, hope. And then another one, love. And he says, these three, they abide. But the greatest of them all is love. So because love is the greatest of them all, I think all of us love love. So the church, our concentration in preaching, amongst many things, should be on these variables. First of all, faith is the foundation of the functionality of our walk as believers. The just shall live by what? Faith in Christ. Love is our response to the Lord for the redemption he has given us. It's also foundational and fundamental. Over the years, let me talk about the church in Ghana or maybe in Africa. We have preached a lot, taught a lot on faith and love. We have the love revolution. We have the faith message. Is that also message of faith, love, and all of that? Because faith is power, love is power. And so the concentration has been on faith and love. Faith towards God, and even when we are teaching on love, is more of love towards humanity. Okay, something that helps us to relate properly to people God has brought our way, both strangers and familiar people. It looks to me that for a very long time, the church in Ghana and in Africa don't teach a lot on hope. So we love God, we have faith in God, but really, for me, the adhesive that makes the faith we have in God and the love we have towards God and towards men to really function well is our hope in Christ. And in Africa, because, you know, we've seen our continent to mostly lie in darkness, especially from our known traditional practices, we always want something that is powerful, visibly powerful. So we teach on faith, we teach on power. Are you here? We teach on all that and then love towards God. When you seem to be teaching on hope, it looks like you are very emotional as a preacher. Like there are important things to preach about. Why will you be preaching about hope? Because we don't see hope to be a very powerful variable. But Paul says that these three are pillars in the kingdom. That's why he's saying they abide. They are important. And we cannot teach two and leave one out. In fact, the one we are leaving out is the reason why we are struggling with the other two. And like I told you the last time, that hope is the mother of faith. When someone loses their hope in Christ, they struggle to operate with their faith. And so we will do ourselves a world of good when we start teaching hope as well as faith and what? Love. Because there are many who are despondent, and it doesn't take the loss of faith to lose your connection with God. Long before someone will lose faith, the person has lost hope. And when people can lose faith and still be hanging around, but when people lose hope in Christ, they backslide though. Because you must put your hope in something. So either your hope is in Christ, it's in the world or the devil, or it's in nothing at all. So when people lose their, because faith grows, faith comes and goes and all, but when someone doesn't have hope, they become something else. Are you here with me at all? So the teaching on the spirit of heaviness is aligned to the teaching of hope. And we are teaching hope because we need hope. Tell somebody, I need hope. And you too, you need hope. Bah. Look at Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 in the King James. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And look at how he speaks to the church. He says that, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. What is it? What of faith? Talk to me. Paul says that there are things he's remembering. He and his friends. He says, one of the things we remember without ceasing is your work of faith. So there's something called your work of faith. He said, and your labor of love. Say labor of love. Yeah. So the way we do the works of faith, we labor. What gives you patience to continue to stick with the Lord and to the things of God is hope. As you are trying to work with your faith, labor in love towards God, what will give you patience to keep on keeping on with the Lord Jesus Christ as he takes you through process? It's not necessarily your faith. What gives you patience to go through process is hope. Is what? Is hope. Because when you have faith, what will challenge that faith is process. Process means that you are doing a marathon. When you are doing a marathon, if you are not careful, you will stop. That stop, people take it differently. I run. If I say I can't run again, what will you do? What will you do? I started running. Are you the only Christian? That's when people will tell you, when were we? Where were you? But not easy. It takes patience to run to the end. Patience is what gives you the capacity to go through the process. And patience comes when you keep your eyes on Christ, hoping in him. So hope gives you that patience. In Romans 4, the scriptures talks about Abraham waiting for the promise God gave him. Bible says that he hoped against hope. Are you seeing this? When you are going through a stretch, delay, disappointment, you know, and even when it is not the devil, but God taking you through that journey, one of the cardinal variables you would need to make that journey successful is called hope. When you lose hope, you will lose your patience for process. Abraham just, the Bible says he did not stagger. But when you look at the entirety of his life, you find out that they do baby no say chale. Now Isaac no come say baba na way. What are no fan check it where be? And Ishmael by. Ek it where be? And Ishmael by. Then his hope was restored again. Say, hey, keep your eyes on the ball. And keep going, even at 100. Sometimes faith will fail. But when faith fails, hope must still be alive. He said, if a tree is cut short, as long as the root remains in the soil. Are you here? There is hope. And when there is hope, you have patience. You have what? So you see, that's why you see that wherever there is faith, hope must be there. Hebrews talks about the fact that it says we should emulate those who through faith and patience. Are you seeing it? Faith will be aborted where there is no patience. But what gives patience is hope. Hope in Christ. Hope in the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 5 again. I'll show you something from verse 5. Can we read from, maybe let's read from verse 1. Okay, good. That's why I say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. It said, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what? Now, he made this cardinal statement because Christianity is full of suffering. And he says that we are rejoicing not because things are going well for us. We are rejoicing because we have hope. Please give me that verse. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you may not be touching the glory, but what hope does is that it keeps you still alive, knowing that the glory and its manifestation is a high possibility. Praise the Lord. So that you don't abandon ship. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So, really, hope is important. Look at the next verse. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. So as you are going through tribulations, one of the things he's supposed to do is to teach you lessons that will make you very patient. But what really makes you not to abandon yourself or your journey or your assignment when you are going through tribulations is hope. That's why we are not only rejoicing in tribulation, but we also rejoice in hope. And he said that, the next verse, please. He says that, and patience will experience, and experience will also produce what? Hope. So, tribulation will produce patience. Patience will produce what? Experience. Experience will produce what? Hope. And look at what he says next. He says that, and this hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So hope is like the last product that you are going to receive after going through the process. And once that hope is built on nothing else but on Christ, you are no longer ashamed of anything that comes your way. So somebody can talk about your faith, talk about your love for God and all of that. You are in hauba kukra because you have built the product or the capacity of hope. Through the many things you have suffered, you are not ready to back off because hope is on ground. When hope is on ground, you are patient with the prophecy. You are patient to go through pain. Jesus was going through the crucifixion. His eyes were fixed on the glory, hope. When hope is taken away from you, you lose your bearing. Are you here with me at all? Said, this hope does not put a man to shame. The reason why you will not feel ashamed when things are not going well is because your hope is intact. I'll go through this thing because I know that there is something God has for me there. Are you here at all? So Paul says that one of the things that, and so you go to America, one of the reasons why America has gathered around Joel Osteen is because he teaches hope. When people are depressed and they can't find themselves again, what they need is hope. They don't need power. Are you here? They don't need what? Power doesn't solve everything. Most times, when a Christian is challenged, it's not because a demon is in their lives. When a demon is misbehaving and power is on ground, that's great. That demon will scatter. But most times, you are actually contending for the prophecy. And you need patience to wait. And that the patience to wait is a byproduct of your hope in the Lord. When you lose that hope in the Lord, you start looking for other things to put your reliance on, to put your weight on. Are you here at all? Yeah. That becomes the issue for the child of God. So hope is very important. Tell somebody, hope is very important. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it talks about hope again. I just want you to know that the message of hope is not a useless message. It said, but let us who are of the day, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So he said, to protect your heart, you need breastplate of faith and love. Love towards God, faith in God, breastplate. When it comes to the head, the battlefield, the helmet you wear is a helmet of hope for your salvation. That means that it is difficult to go through the battle when your hope is jeopardized. So you break down mentally. The hope for transformation is in the mind. Your spirit is okay. You love the Lord. But when the pressure starts coming, it's the mind that starts suffering. Hello? When you feel ashamed, it's not a function of your heart. It's your mind telling you that, Obi, let me say. So when there is no hope there, then you say, hey, this year me kunya fought you. Pressure about what you so. P.Y. Bessie, I say, question why you are busy. Are you busy? So the helmet is meant to protect your head. So in our walk with God, one of the things that protects our head is hope. Is what? That's why someone will tell you, I'm sorry, I won't worry. You see, you will not go mad because you are wearing that helmet of what? Hope. You are protected from accidents. Yes, in the case of stray bullets, accident, the helmet is what protects your head from bad injuries. When you say someone has had stroke, still the brain. Everything is upstairs. Are you here? Yes, so, a Christian whose mind has been invaded is in trouble. When your mind is invaded, the thing that the devil start taking away from you is your hope in Christ. Is your what? So as long as your hope remains intact, your faith will come along. You are not likely to lose your love for God because your hope is intact that Jesus is all I need. Jesus is going to do it. And because I have hope in the Lord, it doesn't matter what is happening around me, I'm not going back. When Paul said, I am persuaded, it was his hope in Christ. It's what made him that persuaded. Praise the Lord. See that mostly you are sad because hope is shaking. And I'm praying that the spirit of heaviness will not take over anybody's life. Shout a better amen in this house. So the last time when we met, we spoke about the fact that there are effects that will accrue to a child of God, negative effect, when you lose yourself in the space. And we said that when you allow sorrow, which is a child of the spirit of heaviness, to take over your space, what happens is that it ensnares you to death. Yeah. Some people lie in sorrow. They can't control themselves. It also grants Satan the upper hand over you. Do you remember? Grant him upper hand over you. And then we talked about the fact that it will take the best part of your life. When I quoted the scripture to you that in Psalm 31 verse 10 in the ESV, when he says that my life is spent. It's because that's what sorrow does. It will spend the best part of your life. By the time you know you are there, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. Everything around you, one sorrow takes over. It's like you are sitting in darkness and everything is going on, but you are not part of it. When you are deeply sorrowful, when people are moving, you don't feel like moving. You feel heavier than your weight. It's a serious matter. And sorrow can make you feel uglier than you look. Why? You think I didn't come? I'm not playing volleyball here. I'm preaching here. What? You cannot intimidate me. I'm preaching something. I know what this sorrow can do. You are there now. The work you have to do, and sorrow will take strength from you. And you will not have any impetus. You will not have any zest. You don't have the enthusiasm. You just become flat. Yeah. You lose your appetite. Appetite for greatness. You start resizing yourself because of sorrow. And the sorrow can so arrest you, become so heavy that your countenance will start dropping. Bible says, Mary had doeth good like medicine. That sorrow is poisonous to your system. It poisons you in a way that it first takes your joy away, and sometimes you are not able to shake yourself. Hey, I bind every spirit of heaviness here. And there are things that makes us feel like this. I spoke to you about losses. When you have losses, scripture also talks about hope deferred. It makes the heart very sick. Hey. And it looks like this life is full of contentions and experiences. And no matter who you are, whether you belong to the clergy or you belong to the laity, some way, somehow, things will happen to you that will leave your domain. You know, sometimes when a bad thing leaves your private space and you couldn't contain it, it just gives you sorrow because you are just thinking, how are people going to see me? How are people going to do that? Da, 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 da. And you'll be kept in the prison of people's opinion. And even though people are very busy on their lives, you are there and you can't find yourself. Sorrow can just arrest you. May nobody here be arrested by sorrow in Jesus' name. It's too much. So when sorrow is on ground, it has effect. It has what? One of the things that sorrow will do is that it will affect your vision. It will give you poor vision. In Job 17 verse 7, can I start preaching small? I can preach small. We got time. In Job 17, 7, I think Job is synonymous to sorrow. The guy encountered too much sorrow. He said, my eyes also is dim by reason of sorrow. Dim. It's not blind. It's dim. Let's say, he's lost some clarity. And all my members are as what? Shadow. So one of the things that sorrow would do, he said, by reason of sorrow, my eyes have become dim. Sorrow would take clarity of thought from you, clarity of vision from you. You that decided that by the time you are 30 or 40, you know, you want to run in a certain way, go in a particular direction where there is vision, there is direction, there cannot be distraction, and you get to your destination. I can't repeat it. Hey. You will see that you are headed for some great destination. Vision will help you to feature the future. Hey. You have imagined. And by the time sorrow takes over your heart and mind, you see that the vision that was very clear to you becomes very blurry. Once vision starts becoming blurred, the energy and the feet to run start getting troubled. You find out that the runner is no longer running well. He said, write the vision down, that he who sees it will run. Sorrow takes your vision away from seeing the things that you have to see. And if you are not careful, like I said the other time, Once you, the spirit of heaviness projects sorrow in your heart and takes over, you just begin to see trash where there is even treasure. And if you are not careful, you just become a very disdained, mundane human being. You will not be able to separate sacred from secular. You will not be able to separate treasure from trash. You just begin to treat everything homogeneously. You are not able to separate between a friend and a foe, because it's like the sorrow has beaten you down that you can't see well. And so you begin to maltreat your helpers and support your abusers. Somebody is sorrowful, they are talking to the person. The mind is not working at the frequency it's supposed to work, because that helmet has cracked and some bullets are going in. Are you here at all? You are there, you are in sorrow. The boy wants to marry, comes to propose to you now. You are not even considering it. Your fixation is on your sorrow. The one who broke your heart, whatever broke your heart, whatever was working and didn't work, stopped working and got deferred. All you just want to just, you know, do a pity party. And sometimes you just want to, I want my space. What space? We are not going to give you any space. When you are sorrowful, you have to come out. You have to what? Come out. The energy is with human beings. The energy is with the Lord. You will lose. Look, in sorrow, you are sitting in your corner, and then you will now redefine the whole world based on your sorrowful mind. It is when we bring you out of that space to where people are functioning without sorrow that the activities there will start now diluting your sorrow until you start seeing like the way they see. Praise the Lord. It will just affect your vision. You just check anybody who was a high flyer who went into sorrow and could not recover. They can't fly again the way they are supposed to fly. They are unable to do that. Sorrow will make you some of the things you have compartmentalized to do, prioritize to do. You don't want to do them again. Yes, so that, what's their worth? Are you here? Yeah. Can you put your hand on your head? Say, my head. Leave sorrow. Leave sorrow. Say, heaviness. Don't come here. Don't come here. I'm out of any heaviness. Praise the Lord. Yes, now. Whenever you start something great, the devil will come after you. When he comes after you, you must have what it takes to fight. In Psalm 107 verse 39, one of the things that sorrow will do is that he will make you resize yourself. Resize. And the size you have will be smaller than the size Christ has given you. In Psalm 107 verse 39, this is self-esteem. We are talking about self-esteem here. You start seeing yourself different from how God wants you to see yourself. You say, again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. That word minished there is, the real word is diminished. You become a shadow of yourself. And it says things that can contribute to you becoming a shadow of yourself is oppression. You see, Israelites were beaten in Egypt. They now began to think like they were slaves. So even when Moses went to take them out of their bondage, they say, who sent you? Did we say that we are tired of the bondage? Can you imagine? Oppression can make you just redefine who you are when you are better than that. He said affliction too is one of those things. Then sorrow. You would just be diminished. You will cut yourself to a size that is lower than the size Christ has made you. Do you hear? Yeah. One anka, what dream when you say you will marry a powerful woman, a powerful man, or you will become a powerful minister? You know, God will take me globally, and I will become a great minister and a blessing everywhere. Once sorrow, the spirit of heaviness, takes over, you'll find out that you just abandon you. The global you will just get abandoned.
And you now take one small kokrontumi corner there.
Me kwa me tunyuma hwane tie me. Me kwa me preaching kwa hwane be tie me.
You just become very small. Very small. You can't see far. You can't do great things. You have just become small. So, when someone says, I love you. Eh? Oh, somebody say, is it me? Is it me that they are loving? I said in this church, one doctor proposed to one beautician. The beautician said, no way. He said, no way. Me, doctor, lie. So I asked her, I said, the doctor, is his blood green? He said, no. He said, no, but I can't. Hey, doctor is too big. I'm so, that's somebody whose perception or assessment of herself is diminished. You become a miniature of who you are. The spies went and spied the land when Moses sent them. 12 of them. Based on what they saw, the giant, they became so sad and afraid that they said that we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so were we in their eyes. And let me tell you that you cannot diminish yourself for people to see your greatness. Once you become small in your own eyes, everyone will have to see you as a small person. One will ask, what is my size? Your size is the size of Christ. Christ in you, that's your size. Because you have become a partaker of his divine nature. As he is in heaven, so are you here on earth. You are his ambassador. You are a diplomat. You are not a mere person. But once you become very sorrowful, now you are looking for one corner boy to have one child with. Or you become somebody's baby mama. Do you understand? Or an allergic second wife. Because you have just, you minish yourself. You abandon the original plan. And then any plan that meets you on the way, based on your diminished self-esteem, you just carry it all. And sometimes when I'm asking, yes, okay, why do you want to go out with this person? Why do you want to marry? He says he loves me. I say, okay, no problem. That's what he says. You, what do you say? Say, but daddy, I'll say, I'm like, I can never marry somebody because the person says he loves me. It's not possible. Now me, be the person who loved that person. There was a lady that said that the Lord said to her that, very correct, sister, that I'm the husband. Be very careful. I was not married then. After 16 years of marriage, I'm still asking who is that. Fine sister, pa, very favored, very beautiful. Well cultured, correct person, pa. Then I told the lady that, look, there's nothing wrong with you loving me, but I won't. I'm saying something, no. But and I know, I say you will kill yourself when it comes to me, blah blah blah, because that's a natural self, but I don't think I'll be able to reciprocate, because what is driving you is not what is driving me. And I will hurt you, and since I will hurt you, I can't go out with you. Kai! The lady died. But I said, if I really love you, then I shouldn't go out with you, because me, I know. If I don't love something, you can... Kai, I'm the type that can sleep when the speaker is very loud. I'm like, there's nothing is going to... Yeah, there's no disturbance in an environment once I want to sleep. Everyone can say whatever they are saying. Jale, that thing emphasize. So I can't really marry someone because the person said, I love you. No. I have to find something there. Do you understand? Don't just marry people because they say they love you. Yeah, you should also do your personal assessment. It's a two-way affair. If the person says they love you and you don't find elements in them that are lovable for you to want to sacrifice, you know, celebrate that relationship and all of that. Rano, do what? Yes, I'll be worried. Will be un and wiser. Un and what come and say? Un and what come and say? How did I get here? How did I get here? But when you love people, even when things are not going well, you find ways of forgiving. Abby, hello. When you are a miniature of yourself, people harvest you. Because you have become very small. So you are a carry-on now. And some of the things that can really make you do that is delay. Sorrow. Yeah. They say, some of the people who have made them very deep sexual mistakes, it happened when they were not happy. Then the guy will become shoulder for you to what? I don't know why you need shoulder. Don't you have shoulder? I have my shoulder. And then I'm horse. Shoulder, 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 sir. Go. Most strikers are shoulders for you to lean on. Because when you are not happy, you are not thinking well. When you are not happy, it's like when you are angry or when you are bitter. You just, everything is very small. But we need to be too in one. Now watch it, Neoma. Why is Shada? But watch it, Adia. Somebody say, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord. Some of your weakest moment is your sorrowful moment. And the spirit of heaviness will exploit you when you allow the sorrow to travel far with you. Because you just become very small in your own eyes. You can't go when they are going. You feel very incomplete, insufficient. May the real size come back to you in Jesus' name. That's why I see that when somebody is in deep sorrow, sometimes they don't dress again. But when they receive therapy and their joy starts coming back, you will see their fashion style. They will do makeup, blah, blah. You just see people who just abandon their makeup and all of that. Ha. One day, one great woman of God, something terrible happened momentarily. And the thing just scattered her head. So I was in the university then. I was going in a particular direction. Hey, Michelle, na ma mi bi. Anointed bow. Wa ti free ba. Wa kana no red. Oh. Yeah. Wa shed. Wa shed slippers. Wa butu kuna chest high bi. Open or Casacas and Wolson or Casacas and Michiano may say, Mammy, now, okay. Minimum anointed bow. It's a okay. And then she told me, as she was crying and telling me the story. And I said, wow. The husband at the time could not comfort her. So as I was standing with her, I saw the husband drive past. So I told the woman that let's go home. So we went home. I spoke to her. She calm down that whatever has been taken away, I'm just going to find wherever that thing is and then bring that thing. If I tell you who that woman is, you'll be surprised. Sorrow doesn't respect your anointing. No. It will scatter your head. Some people, if you don't even keep themselves when they are in sorrow, they stay in ashes. The hair is basah. The body is smelling anyhow. You would think that they are not sensible. People are sensible, but the deep seated within them is a sorrowful emotion that's making them to abandon themselves or see themselves lesser than they really are. And because of that, they are not putting themselves forth properly into the market to be desirable, to command attention and all of that. No, just no. Hey. Sometimes in the church, I see somebody consistently going, and I say, then how? I ask them, then how? When they tell their story, you know that, Charlie, As we have all gathered like this, we have come with different packages. One time I arrested one sister here and I took her to a saloon. I said, make her hair and do makeup for her. When she finished, even myself, I said, wow. Even myself, I shocked. Just a broken heart in tea. I say, hey, now who officer? Broken heart in tea, what die? What the whole skin is even looking very dim. Not knowing that sister not beautiful. Some people are beautiful. But sorrow, it will quench the light in you. You will be there. You are just gone. And you start doing yourself in a way that will make you smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm praying that nobody will be there. And in case you are there, may God bring you out in Jesus' name. Tell yourself, say, sorrow is not my portion. It will come. It will come, but the Holy Spirit is in us. He's giving us a capacity to terminate it when it's supposed to be terminated. Praise the Lord. You become a diminished version of yourself. Sorrow until I say, yeah, my voice, no, and yet now could tear Tasha calls. Say, Usha Tasha dear, Usha Tasha dear, Nemedia. No, Usha Macrenos dear, Nemedia. Median mood, do. Median mood, do. Median scratch. Praise the Lord. One of the things that sorrow will do is that, just look at Jesus himself. Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 3. Shall we read it together? One go. He said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord what? Revealed. Verse number 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about Jesus. Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus' crucifixion, trial, crucifixion, death, burial, and then the work of redemption. He says that the thing will be such that when we see him cry, there will be no beauty in him for us to desire. I'm talking about the embedded effect of sorrow. He says that, for he shall grow up. The last part says that, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Next verse, please. It says that he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. So Jesus was known as a man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus, look at the next verse. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. An embedded effect. We go to the verse 3. The verse 3 is what just changes it for me. He is despised and rejected of men. You see, for people to despise you and reject you, they have to sense something around you. It's like the antelope. Mostly it will get pursued by a lion or a predator, because when it's afraid, it emits certain hormones. And once that hormone pervades the atmosphere, the predator knows that the antelope is ready for the taking. So it's difficult for people to show you contempt when you do not release this kind of hormone of, I'm small, I'm nobody. Are you here at all? Every day as you appear, you are marketing yourself. You are selling yourself to whoever knows, whether spiritually, emotionally, whatever. And it will be great for you to appear in a very good spirit. Even when things are not going well for you, Kai, the joy of the Lord is your real strength. So even Jesus, when he became a man of sorrow, he was despised, he was rejected. It is difficult to carry a man of sorrow along. If it's a team, you find out that something is missing in the team because there is an energy we need for this team to be on the same frequency. A man of sorrow is just crawling when all of us are flying. So you become a dead weight. So when you are injured, we don't try to go to battles with you. Are you here at all? When you are sorrowful, look, the same energy and emotions you are using to be sorrowful, you can use it in other ways. Despised, rejected. If I see a very happy person with the same level of competence as you, and you are sad, who do you think I would choose? All day long, happy person. Joy is infectious. Sorrow is also infectious. And I choose to be infected with joy. Bring energy to the space. When you are happy, you become creative. You find alternative ways of doing things. Are you here at all? Easier ways of doing difficult things. And when you are sorrowful, easy things become very difficult to... Hey! That's why anytime sorrow comes, know that the spirit of heaviness will be coming in your direction. It's just going to try to overwhelm you in ways that you will not easily come out. So, as you process the sorrow, gain closure in the quickest possible time. I remember I was in school. I was 10 years. And maybe I had seen too many dead people because the house we were staying in was a Ebusienfie, a compound house for some family people. Wherever they died, they brought them to do the funeral there. And we were renting a room there. Other people were there. So I was in school when I was called that, oh, my mother is dead. I said, oh, it's some one grandmother that used to come from Elmina to cane me. I said, by all means, it's that one that is dead. It cannot be my mother. First day in class 5. When I go home, Charlie, it was my mother that was there though. And my stepsisters were crying everywhere. We cry small, me and my brother that I come after. Then I said, Kobina Yanko, Yesikrom. When we left, you know, I used to live with my mom and they were living with my dad. So we were walking in town and then we met our dad. And then he saw and said, what's happening? Then my big brother said that our mother is dead. And my dad said, they were not married. He said, oh. Then I said, why is it that it was not him, mom, who died? Can we papa come in Okaa kwan no? Say, why do you know? I had no proper connection with him. Now, my mother is my everything. Now, if my father died, maybe I may not even have attended the funeral at that time. I was just 10 years. So we went to, my brother went to chill me. We chilled. When we came, they were crying. Maybe I was too young for the consequence to hit me that hard. But I was the last child. And I grew. Charlie, we went through different levels like that. I never carried, I don't remember carrying the sorrow of the loss of my mother with me. It was a tough, I've told you about how I perch with one person, perch here, perch here, perch here. I was doing menial things because boys my age doing menial things for food was very normal in the community where I lived in. So when I moved to the other side, I was like the chief menial job. I moved from where fisher folks were and I went to stay in a middle class area. So everyone was clean, flat. Do you understand? So everyone is fine. So me and my father and my siblings, we are the poor people in that space. So I'll carry this one ball, I'll go and throw away. Carry this one, this. I knew how to prepare fish, fisherman's son, you know, for food, fish for food, like sex for grade. This is fish for food. It's a butter. Do you understand? When I wake up in the morning, I'll go and dump this one's baller. That one, this, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just securing my week. It never occurred to me, saying, come my me wa. And come in your way. And my mother, where we were living, in the midst of the fisher folks we were living, my mother was working as a civil servant and she was doing business as well. So within that space there, I was like the fanciful guy. We always have things to share for the people around. Then I go to the place and the opposite is what is happening. I'm the down guy and the up people are there.
It's the first time I saw encyclopedia. I saw people doing spelling bee, doing current affairs. They said, what's the capital of Morocco? They said, pew, pew, pew. Wow. Who is the fastest man there? Pew, wow. Where I am. When we meet like that, either we are playing football or yeah, quantum. Who mommy say? Who papa say? Da, da, da. These people are doing current affairs. That's why, from where I came from, that's why one lady made me angry and I insulted the person. I said, stability. The lady just laughed. He says, what do you mean? Is this one also an insult? But where I come from, stability is a major insult. Charlie, tell somebody, you carry too much. You carry too much. You must have closure. If the thing is beyond your hand, hand it over to God. Straight. If it's beyond your hand, don't even. I've been on flight when I see the plane going up, down. Hey. So one time, Port Harcourt like that, we took a military helicopter. And this thing was undergoing turbulence. One general was sitting by my side. Ah, general was afraid. In my mind, because I'm here, crisis here, nothing can happen. And so I started reading a book by Miles Monroe. The man looked at me one kind way, and one small girl was inside the flight, making noise. The general almost killed the small girl and the mother. Like, we are in this turbulence, you can allow your daughter to be making this kind of noise. But I was calm. Because I had already told myself, once you are in the air, you don't have control. It's not like car, you say, driver, but brake, me person, me see what. Charlie, once you are airborne, Charlie, it is what it is. I can't lose my, the place where we go. Because I don't love my life more than the pilot. Do you understand? Some of you will be doing brake inside the plane. You'll be holding seat inside. The plane itself is hanging. And you are holding the seat of the plane that is hanging. Wow! If it's beyond your hand, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, what? Take the wheels. Once it's beyond your hand, God, I take God beg you. God, I beg. I think God, I beg is too short a prayer. So you say, God, I take God beg you. Or in proper English, in the name of God, I beg you, God. Or God, I beg you in the name of God. Anyhow. God, I use God beg you. Like that. Once it's beyond your... Look, some of the things you call a burden is a blessing. Some of the things you call a disgrace is actually a deliverance. The guy has left you. Give it to time. You will see the mind of God concerning the matter. Give it to time. Give it to time. Sometimes they hook you. Sometimes they sub you. And they are going, they say, you won't go some. Give it time. Give it what? There's a woman I prayed for. She had two kids. All of them were some way kids. So she brought one of them. The head was so bigger than the neck. And the head could not be controlled. Another, you know, it's very same. Let me not describe, but children were a big burden to her. She, when she gave birth to the kids, she couldn't work again. So a lecturer brought the lady to me, and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit told me that her lack of patience to wait for the Lord, not on the Lord. There's a difference between waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord. You can be waiting on the Lord and also wachedudu, ain't you know, obiba now in a court. You were waiting on, but you didn't wait for. So, you know, and sometimes when food is on fire, it may look like food in a chedito. Ah,
And by me copy me go baby it would dig go bena. Ebiane na ba. E ba e na we funa e ma fe die na. Udi cry unko.
That's what happens when you are waiting on the Lord. You get to a point, the thing will stretch you, and if you are not careful, you will be banchi and wait to be it. But to do sa, you ma mi ebiane baby no. Na fe die we funa e ma. And to sister, we was believing God for children. Oh, after 20 years or so, pressure got to her. And she said she went to Ashanti region. I don't be house. I'm going to no, be small pepe. They went to Jude. I said, wow, we meko. Yami yi chile mi bisa. I said, hmm. Say, jina I don't know. Jing kola. Nkola no de ma wano. Enuni. Mrs. Siano, Bronsome Yamau, problem about. Using your mean mom by incorrect, says our Mokwe. Fangolano, so who grow moo? Come grow moo. I tie my minute down forever. But I believe strongly that if she had given it to time, the Lord would have come through for her. She just went ahead of God. I'm so sorrowful. I can't. I told you, some of you, you lose your libido as married people. Your husband say, hello, honey, you are beautiful. Sorrow for children. Sorrow for job. Sorrow for money. And can we a nice part? And for those of you who are married to unbelieving partners, whether it's a woman or a man, by the time you know they have gone to step into something. And now when you see the kind of people they step into, then you begin to feel insulted. Come out of your sorrow. Because if you don't come out, the kind of things that will come and hurt you, you will see that, Charlie, Jesus as a man of sorrow. Bible says that there was no beauty in him for men to desire him. Please put that scripture there because I need to just end now. It says that a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He said, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. There's no honor. And look, the honor you have, it will be beaten down if you don't come out. Because there's a way that, why do you think that American presidents are not allowed to cry outside? Because who's one when you meet Jimmy's type, you understand? I know person make a bro from ground preach. Me name the bro for can't make chat. What do you yeah me video na he wo so yeah with him. And he communicates all manner of things, do you understand? Yeah. Some of your sorrowful moments are some of your most vulnerable periods. Some of your ugly who sina flames in na mo we na no na chese. Je sais yo chi en ye ye. Sina shawo krama. It brings out whatever that is in you, but hardly will you be smiling, and all these things will be coming out. Two of us. So sorrow has its place, but don't let it extend its boundaries for you. If you failed an exam, you failed, you have opportunity to write again. Prepare your mind that I'm going to what? And I'll find better ways of passing. In case you never pass that exam, there are other things you can do. Because this thing you are trying to chatter, the thing can chatter you. It can chatter you and you never chatter. But there are other things you can chatter easily. Charlie, leave the one chattering you and go and chatter what you can chatter. Is it by force? Then you are sadder. Then you are stuck. Spirit of heaviness. This month of June that we have started, first of all, tell yourself that your joy will not be sponsored by things. Number two, your joy will not be sponsored by people. Because there is a river in you. It's called the river of joy. The Holy Spirit in you. Are you here? And he gives you joy. He gives us joy. I was just telling somebody that as a pastor, when I go to places, I don't even want to appear as a pastor. You see that I'm always simplifying my appearance. Mostly, Even when there are big things and I'm at the center of it, I hide and sort of I project other people. I just see, wow, wow, wow. And normally, Pastor Eben is my koi. He will wear suit and tie and, you know, he will look very corporate. I'm just wearing some t-shirt and with a backpack. And they see him and they say, this is man of God. And then they'll be asking me, please, your boss, blah, blah, blah. I'll be following like, he knows that it's a gig. They'll be according him all that until the people who know who we are will appear. He'll be chopping the man of God. One day, a man invited me to Nigeria for a special assignment. And I was supposed to go to Port Harcourt, but the airport was closed, so we went to Owerri. And then he sent his people to come and pick me. So when they came to pick me, I had this backpack, jeans, and whatever. I was there. The people were looking for the man of God from Ghana. The airport, they were chasing everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So when all the people who came on that flight were almost exhausted, one of them, huge, tall man, Master, they say, please, what's your name? And I said, my name is Pastor Francis. I see that the guy bowed for his head inside. And the boy weapon, what may a big jinasa? And I know, I'm going to be talking to him. I'm going to be talking to him. He put me in the car. A big man servant, oh, two of them, they came to pick me with two cars. When they put me in the car, we were driving, the journey was over to Port Harcourt, let's say 1 hour or something. We drove out, we got to a point, the people stopped, they bought suya. I'm their august guest, oh. They bought suya, brought it in the car. Driver and the other person were chewing the suya. Wow, what a protocol breach. And the car they were driving, the one I sat in, is the August cow. You see, I was just sitting there. You see, when I knew their boss, he was not rich. Some years before, God used me, prayed with him, blah, blah, blah. Now he has become super rich. And they are around. They are playing with fire. I just sat in the car. He said, will I choose some? I said, mm-mm. Said, the suya is good, suya is good. Two of them. So, I had not met them before. So, when we got to the house, and they saw how their boss and the wife, you know, Nigerians, they came and prostrated before me when I stepped out of the car. People knew that. They don't mess up. Total mess up. Then I looked at one. And I said, you. I spoke to him in our Ghanaian language. As I was sitting in the car, the Holy Spirit was telling me, this guy comes from Central Region. He comes da, 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 da. He's lived in Nigeria almost all his life. I said, you. How? He a mukrumini. And I'm a from. He was a woman. The moment where you is, he never, and as they were talking, he went on his knees. They were asking me, what did I tell him? I said, I'm just telling him that God is about to help him. I didn't say anything, no, let it not be because of me. Somebody will lose their job. But the point I was making is just know that you are more than the treatment people give you. You are far, far more. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you. Sometimes when you anticipate that you marry at a certain time, you're a lady and you are not married, if you are not careful, you will lose yourself. Like, what am I for? Who am I? What is it? But you are far, far more. Are you here? Far, far more. I used to pray with Sinach long before she got married. And I used to tell her that God is going to give you marriage, and the day you marry, to be glorious everywhere. So we prayed. Then it was time for her to marry. Everywhere scattered. When she finished the marriage, she asked me, Pastor Francis, do you remember the prophecy and the prayer we used to pray?
I said, you are mature and you are going to give birth. I said, eh. She never, you see the song she sings? That's her faith. She will never, if God says, let's flow, let's pray about it. By the time we knew, she gave birth. We're praying when he said, God is going to give her a global anthem 3 years before. Then the waymaker came. Boom, like that. But this woman, she's so shaggy. This Sinach. Sometimes what people use to mock you is the ministry you are doing. She's so shaggy today. You can't send shaggy to her now. She's gone. Except a corn of wheat. Sometimes, first of all, dies. When you are dying, don't really die. There's a difference between being planted and being buried. All of them go through a hole. They go to the ground. You define what is happening to you. Whether you are being planted or you are being buried. And sometimes we are being planted by God. And we have conceptualized that process as burial. And the mind of God is not to bury you. He just wants you to be fruitful. So go down there, die and come back again. Tell somebody, come back again. Anyway, rise up. I think the service closes at 12 and we have to just stick to the time. This matter, I'm not ending with you. I'm on this matter forever. Sister, what do you think? Should I not be on the matter? Doctor, you are a doctor. Imagine treating somebody who is medically ill. Not being say. Hey, Dimbia. Sometimes if you are not careful, but for machines, you will not even be able to diagnose a person properly. Because they will be telling you gibberish. Things that they should have a sound mind to tell you. Some people even want to die. So when you say, okay, do you feel this? And the doctor needs how you feel to diagnose you properly. Are you here with me? Yes. We did the cross, we did it. On did it, yes, also we did it. So you have the best intention of giving the person an intervention, but it's just misleading you because of sorrow. Wapuabrabo, Bible calls it despair. When you despair of life, yes, anything goes. And some of you today, you are begging, but you're actually a rich person. Praise the Lord. The reason why some of us don't save money is that we have seen poverty. We saw poverty, we cannot celebrate money. See poverty. Kai. My wife is here. There is no, and people have given me money. There's no money anybody has given me for celebration. It's not for lack of appreciation. Charlie, I think I got saturated with suffering that I can't celebrate what money can do. The treasure has to be way, way higher than what money can offer. It has to be. God is the greatest treasure. And the fact that we know him and the privilege of serving him. Praise the Lord. Recently, they made one of my... I used to play on the same team with him, football with him. They made him an MC in one regional capital. And whilst people were celebrating him, you are this, he called me. He said, Jane, team member, my prophet. I said, as somebody was celebrating their politician as the source of their life, see where God put us. This higher calling. And if you are a pastor and life is caning you, you begin to even feel like your life is lower than some of the celebrated, you know, positions in this life. But what do we have? We have Christ. What do we have? When Jesus talks about his death, he talks about it in the spirit of power. That my death is power to you. If you are making reference to something that is a very bad story or that invokes bitterness and sorrow, you should be talking about that aspect that gives power to you and to people. Not bringing you back to the whole moment of sorrow and me kaya na misu. Wow. Kaya na usu. Wow. I will be thanking God. But if you are there, come out. Boy, in a break your heart. Free mono be for from where away. What does it broken heart and now does it? Praise the Lord. Are you excited you came? Say the spirit of heaviness can never ever. You have no place in my life.
Yes, in my life. You have no place in my life. Sometimes the sales will not be coming. They're cool down. Cool down. One. Bam! One. Or two be. Matter will. Praise the Lord. It will settle the matter. The healing you are waiting for, it will come. It will come now. Relax. It will come. The sorrow is too much. And when it's too much, it's the devil that will take advantage of you. I'm praying that God will strengthen you with his strength. The joy of the Lord will strengthen. Lift up your hands. Receive joy. Receive joy. Say, I receive joy. Say, I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy because I have the Holy Spirit. I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that no spirit of heaviness is going to take over your life. That your life is more than what you are encountering. Your life is more than what you have seen. Your life is more than anything. Sadabaka Pahasa. Thank you, Father. Shaka Patala Bahasoya. Ela Baba Baba Sota Laba. Shaka Dalabada. Ela Bakoshata. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Sadola Baba Baba Shaka. Sola grado sevre de de shakata la bahakata shodana balaga da 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 da. Oh, come on, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. That your spirit is light. Yeko para sula da la kapahatas. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. You are in your season of joy. I receive restoration. Pray. Ayaya, restoration. Strength. I receive hope. Hope to live again. Hope to see my dreams come to pass. Hope to marry. Hope to rise again. Eba da da da. Soya da 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 da. Shakata la bakapa. Elakabata la badanas. Shakapata la bakapa. Eshoklepelia soso. Ela kabatata. Tasha. Kashanda lemekose diatose. Come on, come on, come on. Shakalabada badada. Shakadalabada.
You are my father.
a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jifamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.